Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It looked like, for the naive eye like myself watching the game, that it was the most physical you guys looked this season. Did it feel that way for you? And was it a statement to the rest of the league of how physical you guys can be?
We don't need to make a statement to anybody in the league. We just need to focus on ourselves and try to continue to improve. And we always talk about earning the respect of the guy next to you and the guy across from you. That's all that we're trying to do. We take a lot of pride in the way we cover kicks. Said that, I mean, they were the top five kickoff return unit. We were number six in the league in kickoff coverage. I expect us to be top five in the league in kickoff coverage by the time the season ends. And so that was a challenge for us. And we have to go down there and send a message.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us tonight. We are Boston Sports Original, and along with Boston, we are coming to you live all over New England, including up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and the TuneIn apps as well. Doug Kide will join the show at 7:30. Boston Herald, looking forward to talking with him. I like that answer there. I like that question from Courtney. Courtney, you're not naive. In fact, Courtney, very well-traveled. Pittsburgh Steeler fan, New England Patriots fan. She's a fan of all these different teams. Good for her. You don't have to commit to one. You can be a fan of whoever you want, Courtney. Don't let them tell you otherwise. The Patriots at 11-2 are the best team in the league record-wise, statistically. They, I think, in many, many ways, established an identity last night. One that we hadn't really seen before, and I don't know if we're going to see it for the rest of the season. There's only four games left. You only have, you got the bye week, and then you got, four more games after that, two of which could potentially be tough games, two of which probably shouldn't be. Then again, it's tough to really predict what's going on here and what's going to happen. The Giants were a team that had not been getting blown out much lately. They went up against two good teams in the NFC, Green Bay and Detroit, and only lost by a touchdown to both of those teams. They were down 17-3 in the first quarter of this game and never really got back into it. That is telling. Telling of what level the Patriots are operating on as opposed to the level some of these other teams, including the Giants, but I mean even the good teams in the NFC. You've seen some ugly losses from some of them. The Eagles are kind of flailing a bit right now. The Eagles, their coordinators are getting their houses egged down there in Jersey and South Philly. Which may just be a byproduct of living in that area, but either way, there is a lot to celebrate here with this team. And let's start with some of the national power rankings. ESPN, New England Patriots, numero uno, up from two. Mike Reese writes that the X factor for the final stretch is defensive tackle Christian Barmore. Interesting. Reese writes, with starting DT Milton Williams on injured reserve because of a high ankle sprain for at least the next two games, and number three defensive tackle, Kyrus Tonga, slowed by a chest injury from week 12, more of the burden now falls on Barmore. Through the first 9 weeks, Patriots hadn't allowed an opposing running back to gain 50 yards rushing in a game, but in weeks 10 through 12, Patriots opponents averaged more than 5 yards per carry. Yeah, it's true. Didn't really see much of that yesterday, right? They weren't really running the ball all that effectively, it didn't seem like. 4 yards per carry, I guess that's, you know, for them, not bad. You know, for the Patriots' run defense, it's a bit down from the previous 2 weeks, but it's still higher than it was when they were mowing everybody over. Christian Barmore is an important piece of that, I agree. I also think that you got some really nice contributions there from some other guys, you know, from guys that I want, Corey Durden, who was out there getting in people's faces and big hits, just coming out of nowhere, Josh Farmer. I thought, you know, when you look at Milton Williams and the impact that he's had, you know it's going to be difficult to replace that. But I think you had some guys out there playing like their hair was on fire, and that, again, is indicative of the culture Mike Vrabel has set here. He has said this team plays hard. They hadn't always been hitting hard like this, but they've been playing hard like this all year long. ESPN's noticed. ESPN has him at number one. Who else has him at number one? CBS has him at number one. And CBS, in their roundup, let me pull it up here, had the following. It's Pete Prisco, who I very much like, and he just had a quick paragraph. Patriots, they just keep on winning. They head up to their bye on a 10-game winning streak up after the bye. Buffalo Bills, they are rolling up to number one. The Broncos moved up to number two. They were three previously. The Rams dropped down to number three. After that, it goes Seahawks, Packers, Bears, Eagles, Jaguars, 49ers, Buccaneers, rounding out your top 10. He has the Texans ahead of the Bills, the Colts at 14, the Lions down at 15. They dropped a lot in a lot of these power rankings. The Chiefs down to 16, Ravens 17, Chargers 18. So grading tough there, but the Patriots surviving and reigning supreme here in the eyes of Pete Prisco. NFL Network. Patriots, fourth. Eric Edholm writes the following. First of all, his top four, Rams number one, Seahawks number two, Broncos number three. Here's what he had to say about the Patriots. Monday smelled like a potential trap game coming in, but the Patriots quickly dispelled that notion with a dominant first half showing against the Giants, a 30-7 lead at the half, Drake May earning more MVP chance. The defense held the New York to 239 total yards. Marcus Jones housed another punt. If May wins MVP, it's because he's been consistently good or better in pretty much every game since the week one loss to Las Vegas. Certainly will go down as one of the most shocking results of the season. Ever since then, Patriots have improved vastly, becoming a complete football team. They might not dominate in a lot of areas outside of May making tougher plays look easy, but they also don't have many glaring weaknesses. Injuries have sunk their teeth into the starting lineup, but the replacements really stepped up on Monday night. I agree, they really did. To the point where I almost can't believe he got the Broncos ahead of them. You know, I really, it's like, that's kind of, it's kind of shocking, honestly.
They told him that he wasn't good enough to play for the Giants, and we thought that he was good enough to play for the Patriots.
That was Durden he was talking about there, right? Yeah, Durden, who got cut by the Giants, I think, in the offseason, in the preseason. And the Patriots picked him up. He got an opportunity, and he went out there. He played well. The Denver Broncos had a game in primetime this week as well. And they almost got humiliated by the Washington Commanders. And that would have been a humiliating loss. And instead, they were able to keep him out of the end zone on the two-point conversion and just squeak by with the win there. Patriots against a similarly bad team, maybe not quite as bad. The Commanders aren't quite as bad as the Giants, but they're not much better this year with Marcus Mariota. But, yeah, the Patriots took care of business. The Broncos almost let one get away.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's not and say we did. So, fourth on NFL. Disappointed? Don't be yet. Because the Ringer, the Ringer has the Patriots, who are 11-2, by the way. The Ringer is an NFL guy who does the power rankings. Deonte Lee has the Patriots. Well, let's go through the top 10. Number one, the Seattle Seahawks. Bold choice, but okay. Seahawks are a very good team, and they shut out the Vikings this week. Great. Number two, the Rams. Okay. Number three, the Broncos. Okay. Number four, the Packers. What?
What?
The Packers. Number five, the Eagles.
What?
the Philadelphia Eagles at 8-4, fifth on this list. Number six, well, they got to have the Patriots here. The Detroit Lions.
What?
The Lions? How are the Lions ahead of the Patriots? That's ridiculous.
Three of those teams, I'm pretty sure, lost this weekend, right?
The Lions, almost all of them. Certainly did.
Lions, Eagles.
The Eagles have lost two in a row. The Lions have lost, they just lost the one, but it was an ugly loss. The Lions going down at the hands of the Packers. They did lose to the Eagles, and they only beat the Giants by a touchdown. They also lost to the Vikings not long ago. The Lions, man, the Lions really dropped in a lot of power rankings, but not in this one. This one, they're sixth. And then the Patriots clocking in at seventh. Seventh on a power ranking list, despite being 11-2. Here is what they wrote. We have plenty of evidence through 13 weeks that New England can beat up on the weaker competition in the league. Fine. Just like it did on Monday night against the flailing Giants squad. Flailing. They got within a touchdown of Green Bay and Detroit in these last 2 weeks, but they're flailing. Okay, fine. But we haven't seen this team be pushed hard enough to determine whether it's a real championship contender. Okay. Patriots have played only three teams that currently have a winning record. Two of them were in the NFC South. Carolina and Tampa Bay. I didn't realize that the NFC South didn't count. I didn't realize that was that you can't count those games against winning teams if they're in that particular division. New rule I wasn't aware of. If this is truly one of the league's elite teams, I want to see it make an emphatic case by beating Buffalo again. Okay.
Are we sure Cam Newton wrote this article, or was this actually who you're saying it is?
Sounds like maybe it could have been. You know, there's all these weird rules with the Patriots here that don't apply to the Lions and doesn't apply to the Eagles and doesn't apply to these other teams. But they apply to the Patriots. Oh, well, you only beat a couple of teams with winning records, and they were all in the NFC South. So whatever. Oh, you beat the Bills. Well, can you beat them twice? Like, what is this? Why is this? Why are these weird rules only applying to the Patriots after a game like that where they didn't let the Giants hang around? They didn't let the Giants get within like a field goal. Like, they kicked the Giants' ass from the first quarter of that game all the way through till the end, literally and figuratively, with them pulling a couple of random touchdowns out of their ass. Actually, that one Jackson dart, that scramble and throw, that was pretty cool. It was a good play. I'll give them props on that. I enjoyed watching that. I was like, damn, all right, nice play there, kid. Especially after getting lit up all game. But seventh, come on. That's, you got the MVP as your quarterback, you know, you got the coach of the year, and they haven't been tested enough. Okay, fine, that can maybe drop them down to three, maybe even four if you want to get crazy like NFL Network did. Seven? That's damn near outside the top 10. Come on, guys, you can't have the 11-2 team be that close to the being outside of the top 10. That's preposterous. Just a preposterous ranking. And I, you know, with the excuses that get made, Denver Broncos, here's how they open the thing. Denver's passing game is putrid. Okay. How about the Patriots? Oh, number one in the NFL? Their passing offense is the best in the NFL? Well, they haven't been tested. Okay. But the other team you just said was putrid. And you have that team four spots ahead of the Patriots. The Broncos are four spots ahead of the Patriots. Denver's passing game is putrid. Spare me on the wins, the qualifiers, and the hypotheticals about Bo Nix, because there's nothing anyone can say to salvage what we're watching on a weekly basis. Right. So what? So how are they third? That's the quarterback. It's an important part of the team. It's an important aspect of all of this. It does seem like, you know, like, the Ringer knows what they're doing. They know how to get people to read their stuff. Remember what our clickbait was last night? It was a new word that's entered the lexicon. Rage bait.
Word of the year.
It's the word of the year. That's the Oxford English word of the year. And it's not even a word. It's two words. It's two separate words. It's not even a compound word. Just rage and bait. And I'm not saying this is completely rage bait. But if you go online and you scroll through your socials, and you do it with the idea in mind that most of the stuff you're looking at is just there to bait you into getting angry, And that's really its only function. That's really its only purpose. I'm not saying that this guy doing a power rankings is doing this just, and that's the only purpose of it. I mean, he put a lot of work into this. Any power ranking, you got to write about every single team. You know, it's not some easy thing to do. It's an easy concept to execute, I guess, but it's work. It's manpower. It's tedious. You got to go down the list and rank all the teams, and then you got to write a little paragraph about all of them, and it takes time to do that. So I'm not saying that it, you know, it was like, I guess you can do it some other way if you want to. You can just ask ChatGPT to do the power rankings for you. But I'm not saying that's what's going on here. And ChatGPT wouldn't have had the Patriots seventh either, by the way. There's no way. But if they wanted to do it rage baity, there's a lot of
seven!
A lot of people. Thank you, Joe. It's weird. Weird. Vegas, though? Vegas appears to have caught up. Vegas appears to have caught up. May leapfrog Stafford for the MVP. That happened at halftime, which I think is awesome. The Patriots also now, by the way, have the best point differential in the AFC. They're plus 110. The Colts are plus 108. There are two teams with better point differentials in the league. That would be the Rams and the Seahawks. Patriots, number three. And they've moved up in the Super Bowl rankings, too. Super Bowl odds, not Super Bowl rankings. Right now, your Super Bowl odds look like this. The Rams at plus 460. The Seahawks at plus 900. The Packers at plus 900. The Eagles at plus 900. So that's three teams right there, all locked in at plus 900. All four of those teams in the NFC. First AFC team on the list, the Patriots at plus 1,100. Bills are also there at plus 1,100. The Broncos, plus 1,200. Colts, plus 15. Ravens, 16. Chiefs, 17. Lions, 22. So the wise guys, I guess, are finally catching on, or more likely, enough money's coming in on the Patriots that they just have to go with the flow a little bit. I'm not surprised by that. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. But here we are. Aside from the ringer, just about everybody's acknowledging what the Patriots are doing here. And I understand. I understand why there was some skepticism. I understand why not everyone wanted to jump on the bandwagon. And I understand why some people still haven't yet. Including Stephen A. Smith, who we'll play in a little bit. But first, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Paul is in the car. Go ahead, Paul. Paul? Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Paul. What's up?
I just wanted to say, like, the argument with the schedule and the Patriots is just so boof, because you look at all those teams that are ranked ahead of them, the Packers, Lions, Eagles. They've all lost to the teams that we've beaten by multiple scores.
You're right about that. You're right, Paul. The Eagles ranked ahead of the Patriots, lost to the Giants this year. They lost to the Giants. I know the Giants had much more players available than they do right now. But even some of the Lions are ahead of them in that ringer list, and the Lions barely squeaked by the Giants last week. The Packers only beat the Giants by a touchdown. Like, this is just who they just played. And to say that they're in disarray, fine. I mean, yeah, I agree. They fired their coach. They're not very good. They fired their coach. They fired their defensive coordinator. But they did all that, and they still managed to compete against some of these really good teams, allegedly, in the NFC. But when the Patriots go out there and kick their ass, that doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time squaring the circle there. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we'll talk with Doug Kide, writer for the Boston Herald. He joins the show right after this. First, here's Joe Braverman, and he'll get you caught up on what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nah, I just appreciate how they came out and they were aggressive. It'd been a while since we'd played, and it just was a long week. And we talked about attacking and aggressive and just saying, hey, if they're going to run a quarterback or if they're going to run a gadget play, it's hard to scheme these gadget plays up. And sometimes the best answer is violence, and some of those guys chose that, and that was good to see.
Mike Vrabel on his team's new violent outlook. Christian Arcand Show here at WEEI. A few moments away from welcoming Doug Kye to the Boston Herald onto the show. Looking forward to talking with him. Texter in Rhode Island just said, hey, Arcand, Jameis Winston made those Detroit and Green Bay starts. He's way better than Dart is right now. True. You're right. I mean, you're right about the fact that Winston made the starts. Is it true that Winston's a much better NFL quarterback than Jackson Dart right now? He's definitely more experienced. I mean, that's for sure. Is he much better than Dart right now? I don't know if I'd say that he's better. I'd say they're probably comparable.
Like, I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
But that is a fair point. You know, the offense operates differently with him at quarterback than it would with Dart at quarterback. But I'm not sure if Jameis was back there that we'd have a much, much different outcome. I don't think Jameis would be trying to pick up that first down getting hit by Christian Ellis, but I do think it would still have been a very comfortable Patriots win. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we get to Kye, let's take Jabril in Boston. Go ahead, Jabril.
Yo, what's up, man? I just wanted to say, man, it's just a beautiful time to be a Pats fan, honestly.
Yes.
Like, I you know, I was born in 99, but I was born on April 16th, which is the same day that Tom Brady was drafted, which is also the same birthday as Bill Belichick. And I've just been a Pats fan my whole life, and they talked about it last night on the broadcast. Like, Drake May has the highest completion rating in NFL history. Like, I mean, we just got to take a minute. You know, they were talking about the power rankings and all of this, but can we take a minute to step back and realize what we are actually watching right now? You know what I mean? Like, this is beautiful. Like, you know, it's his second year. He's a rookie. A second year in the NFL. He was just a rookie, and this is a beautiful time to be a Pats fan, man. And we're number one in the league, and they can sleep on us. They can have us three in the power rankings, seven in the power rankings, because we know that doesn't matter. The playoffs matter, and that's exactly what I'm waiting for, to see how we play in the playoffs. Because now I think I've seen enough from the regular season. Now, you know, they say our schedule is weak, but what can we do in the playoffs? And I think that's what needs to be the conversation. Of course, hopefully we'll have Will Campbell back, and hopefully, you know, this 2-week rest will definitely give us some time. But thank you, man. That's all I wanted to say.
Jabril, great call. Call back anytime. And I share your optimism. I don't know how you couldn't, especially about Drake May. I mean, it's impossible not to be pumped up about Drake May. They panned the crowd yesterday during the game. And it was May on the sideline. It was, I think there was like a timeout. I forget exactly what point in the game it was. But I remember they panned the crowd. And Drake May fans are pretty funny. I mean, it's like all this very open. I love Drake, just the shirt. I heart Drake May. There was a kid in the crowd who looked like Drake May as a child. Did you notice that kid? I was going to tweet something about him, but I was like, I'm not going to tweet about a little kid. That's weird. I don't want to get Portnoyed. But, you know, it was like, It was this kid. He was wearing a Drake May jersey, and he had a hat on, and like his hood pulled up. And he looked like young Drake May. It looked like young Drake May traveled through time to watch his future self play in the NFL, which if I could do that when I was a kid and I ever played in the NFL, I'd definitely do it. But, yeah, it's catching on. One thing I noticed, though, a lot of empty red seats last night. A lot of empty red seats. Every time they showed the crowd from the field, it looked pretty packed, but then they panned out a little bit. Very, very, a lot of red. For more on that and for more on this game and the schedule to come and everything that's gone on this year, let's welcome in our guest on the guest line right now on the hotline from the Boston Herald. Our good friend Doug Kide joins us here on the Christian Arcan Show. Mr. Kide, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Christian?
I'm doing great. Really hard not to be right now with a statement win like that going into the bye in a week where I thought this team was going to be showing signs of fatigue and, you know, just maybe overlooking a team like the Giants trying to get to that bye. That was the opposite of that, about as impressive of a win, I think, as they've had all year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I was right there with you. I thought that I predicted the Patriots to win, but I thought this could potentially be a trap game for them. Giants had been pretty competitive for the last few weeks. Granted, that was with Jameis Winston at quarterback. Jackson Dart didn't look as good, but yeah, major statement win. I think they did. You know, Vrabel wore the no naps vest last week. I felt like they might have napped a little bit in the second half, but ultimately, with how well they played in the first half, it didn't matter.
We didn't see this team all year, Doug. We didn't see this team going out and lighting guys up like that. We haven't really, you know, no one's really considered this defense to be some bleep-kicking defense with a bunch of guys who will go out there and take your head off. That just wasn't really a big part of their identity. They were sort of this run-stopping team with some good guys in the secondary and not really much of an edge rush and, you know, not really getting after the quarterback that much. Last night, they looked completely different on defense. Was that a shock to you to see them out there playing like that?
It was surprising, but I think that was a huge positive because they could have been a little tired and a little, especially in the first half. Like, it's been a long season, haven't had the bye week yet. I think it's tough for guys sometimes to play on prime time too, just because you sit around all day, you kind of lose some of your energy. So obviously Mike Vrabel and the rest of the coaching staff did a very good job of getting their team pumped up and ready for that Monday night game. I think it's fun for players to play in prime time, but I do think it's difficult. So that was another huge positive, especially to see Christian Ellis, you know, running around and flying around and lighting guys up out there. Definitely a good performance to head into the bye, you know, with as much energy as they did.
Yeah, certainly agree with that. And you look at these last two teams that they played, Doug, the Bengals and the Giants, two teams with some of the worst defenses in the league, certainly against the rush. The Bengals did a good job, I thought, defensively against the Patriots for the most part. They didn't score a lot of points against them on offense. Then there was this game. They were galvanized a little bit by that Marcus Jones punt return, but offensively it seemed like they were getting mostly what they wanted. What was the difference in their approach in this game as opposed to what wasn't quite working against Cincinnati?
I think one thing was that Ramondre Stevenson was just running a lot better in this game. I know he only finished with 3.3 yards per carry, but he was running hard early in the game. Looked like he was over that toe injury that still seemed like it was lingering and bothering him against the Bengals. So I think that was definitely a factor, but also just Drake May looked much better in this game. I thought his game against the Bengals was maybe his worst of the season, one of the worst of the season, especially accuracy-wise, and it was good to see him get over that in this game because he was delivering very accurate balls deep. He had the fade in the end zone to Kayshon Boutte. This was really one of his best games of the season. So I think it's just small things with this team. It was really good also just to see him have as much trust as he did in the offensive line, because I wouldn't have been surprised if he had come out and, you know, played some quick game, tried to get rid of the ball quickly, escaping the pocket, maybe even turning the ball over. But he really didn't seem bothered at all by the fact that he didn't have Will Campbell or Jared Wilson out there. It helps that Varian Lowe and Ben Brown played well. But I thought it would affect him more.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that with Lowe and Brown out there. you know, there's been a lot of back and forth about this offensive line and how good they've actually been this year. Are they actually good? Or are they just better than last year's offensive line? And then you got two guys from last year's offensive line playing.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to be making any big mistakes out there. I thought that largely Brian Burns was kept under control. Abdul Carter had the one sack, but he was, you know, benched for the first quarter too. So that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, I mean, really with the offensive line and those guys having to step up like that, it was very nice to see. A guy like Doug Marrone, I mean, we have talked about him before, is a guy like him coaching that offensive line, Josh McDaniels, do you think that had a lot to do with why they were able to hold the line up there?
Yeah, I think the coaching is a huge factor, and just the fact that there's more talent across the board on the offensive line. Obviously, Michael Wenu was part of the group last year, but Garrett Bradbury is an upgrade over what they had for the whole season last year at center. Morgan Moses, a massive upgrade at right tackle. So that plays a big factor, but I think coaching, scheme, technique, all those things play a factor as well. And I mean, Josh McDaniels saw how Dante Scarnecchia ran the offensive line for years and years and years. I think that Dante Scarnecchia did a very good job of masking what could have been some weaknesses on the Patriots offensive line for years. Obviously, Tom Brady did that as well, but they didn't always have the most talented five guys up there, but they always made it work. And it is, they've got three strong offensive line coaches this year, and Vrabel always mentions the three guys. You had Doug Marrone, Jason Hoteling, and Robert Kugler. Those guys all have different roles across the offensive line. I think it's really valuable to have all three of those guys so that, you know, one of them specializing in tackles, one of them in guards and centers, one of them's kind of overseeing everything. So I think that really helps as well. The other factor too is that Vidarian Lowe is playing with a shoulder injury almost all of last year. We found that out last week. Mark Daniels of Mass Live talked to him, said he was playing with a torn labrum. So obviously getting that fixed and being fully healthy, playing at his natural position of left tackle, all of those things, I think, played a factor as well.
What got into Christian Ellis? 10 tackles. He led the team in tackles, had a couple of big, big hits. That one on Olszewski, which I felt bad for him. It was clearly shaken up from that one. But, no flag on the play. Didn't really seem. It was kind of a bang-bang play there. The hit on Dart, which is going to be one of the signature, I think, plays of this entire season. What got into that guy? I mean, he looked like a madman out there.
Yeah, really impressive performance. He started the season slow with some missed tackles, but he's actually really rounded back into shape over the back half of the season. But I'd say that was his best game of the season, just having those impact plays. And I mean, yeah, on the Dart hit, all the Patriots players and everyone's been saying it. Chris Nellis said it on the air with you guys, with Jones and Keith. Like, if the quarterback is running down the sideline and he's trying to pick up extra yards to get the first down, what else are you going to do right there than hit him? Like, you have to lay the lumber. You have to prove a point, but you also have to stop him from getting the first down, because clearly Jackson Dart was trying to get the first down. Ellis stopped him 1 yard short, and then obviously the penalty pushed him back there. But that was a great play by him to cover that much ground and knock him out there before the first down. And the Olszewski play was unfortunate. Gunnar was a good guy here in New England, and that just looked like, to me, at least on the end zone replay, that when Marte Mapu hit Olszewski, it turned him and then turned him into Christian Ellis. So it looked to me like Ellis was trying to lead with the shoulder, and then it was kind of incidental contact with a helmet-to-helmet hit. I know that Giants fans see that a different way. It's kind of interesting how much I've seen on Twitter that they thought the Patriots were playing dirty. They thought the Patriots were headhunting. I mean, outside of that one play, I don't think there was – I guess there was the penalty with Jalen Hawkins as well, but – this has not been a dirty team this year. This has not been a headhunting team. So I know that fans kind of get in their feelings when they lose. That's what it seems like to me here.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Pretty sneaky, big special teams game too. You just mentioned the Olszewski and the fumble there. There was Behringer shanking that punt. The worst field goal attempt I've ever seen in my life. And for the Giants there, and Marcus Jones establishing himself now as maybe an all-time great punt returner. This team, special teams-wise, I know that Behringer had the shank, but other than that, I mean, they've been very, very good this year. Who do you give most of the credit for that to?
Yeah, I think that Vrabel obviously plays a big influence, but Jeremy Springer has done a very good job over the last 2 years with the special teams unit. And just the fact that they were able to have that kind of performance without Brendan Schooler. Also, Brendan Schooler, their best special teams player, one of the best ones in the NFL, was out with the ankle injury, and they were still able to do that. Obviously, you mentioned the shank from Bryce Behringer. Andy Borgalis also had a miss, but Borgalis has been very good since really week two of the NFL season. So, I give credit to all those guys. Tom Quinn, he's the assistant. Jeremy Springer always gives a lot of credit to Tom Quinn as well, especially working with the kickers. And I think some of it, too, was just that the Giants special teams was a mess. I mean, you had the opening kickoff with Terrell Jennings going 39 yards, as you mentioned, the Marcus Jones touchdown. But he had some other good punt returns as well. And then, I mean, I know Younghoe Koo is blaming the fact that the ball was moving for why he kicked the ground rather than kicking the ball. But, I mean, in that situation, if you're Younghoe Koo, kick the ball. I don't care if the ball's moving. What's a better end to that play? Letting your holder get killed by Jeremiah Farms, or maybe shanking a field goal? Like, the end result of that play is much better if you get your foot on the ball. So I really did not like that excuse from Koo.
You just made Joe Braverman a very happy guy, because he made that same point about Brendan Schooler, and I poo-pooed it as, oh, wow, they couldn't do it without Brendan Schooler. So he gave me a big ha-ha right in my earphones as you brought that one up as well. I don't want to argue with that now because we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you this. Did the way they played against the Giants last night, does that change your outlook here on these next two games coming up against Buffalo and Baltimore? Do you feel differently about those games now?
I don't know if I specifically feel differently about those games, because it's just so much more difficult opponents. I think it changes how I feel about the rest of the season, though. And I have been really hesitant to mention Super Bowl with this team, but just the way the rest of the league is playing, the fact that there's no real dominant team out there, especially in the AFC, like, it's really not that crazy to start talking about this team as potentially being Super Bowl contenders. I mean, Mike Vrabel even said something about champions today in his press conference as well, which I looked up the transcripts throughout the year. He had not said the word champion before this one. So it seems like he might also be kind of thinking that this team has that kind of potential.
Interesting. Very interesting. Good stuff there. Doug Kite, great to talk with you as always, sir. Doug Kite of the Boston Herald, thanks so much for the time tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Once again, that's Doug Kite joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. You can check out his stuff in the Herald. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about something Stephen A. Smith had to say. He had some nice, kind words for the Patriots, kind words for the team, but also not quite jumping on that bandwagon completely yet. We'll break down what Stephen A. had to say right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Patriots have been very, very impressive. No doubt they're a Super Bowl contender. Give them their props and their respect where it's due. I certainly will. But I want to say this. We can't ignore the schedule. It ain't their fault who they're playing. You got a victory against the Miami Dolphins. Carolina, we've now learned that they're better than we yep. thought. And Buffalo, of course. New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, injured Tampa Bay team, New York Jets, Bengals, Giants. Okay, I just gave you eight games there. All I'm saying is that as the season wanes and you start getting in the playoff competition, I'm going to be real interested in seeing how the New England Patriots look then. No doubt they deserve all the props in the world, especially the turnaround. They are definitely a Super Bowl contender, no doubt about it. I'm just saying, you know, the level of enthusiasm, it just needs to be, you know, harnessed to some degree. That's all because of some of the victories that they've had.
Stephen A. Smith going back to that same well, that old chestnut. Wow, look at the schedule. Yeah, every time they do that, every time someone says, well, consider the schedule, they always end up doing the same thing. They go over the schedule and they go, oh, Carolina. Oh, wait, actually, Carolina's kind of good. Buffalo, well, they got to beat Buffalo twice. Tampa Bay, well, they're in the NFC South just like Carolina, so what's the difference? It's very strange, the pretzels that people seem to be twisting themselves into to try and temper the expectations for the Patriots. But he said something at the end there that I wanted to leapfrog on, which is, you know, they're Super Bowl contenders. He called them Super Bowl contenders. But the enthusiasm's just crazy. You got to temper your expectations. I don't think you do. If you have them in the Super Bowl, then what expectations need to be tempered? That they're going to win the Super Bowl? They're going to make it, but they're not going to win? That's what we should temper for expectations? Okay, I guess. If they're Super Bowl contenders,
damn,
make it to the AFC Championship game or then to the Super Bowl, then what expectations really should we be tampering here? If they don't do that, then yeah, fine, okay. Then you can say that they're not really contenders. You should temper those expectations that way. But you can't say temper expectations and also they're Super Bowl contenders. Because those are the expectations, right? Like, that's the best expectation you could possibly have, other than Super Bowl favorites, which I'd imagine they're probably not, but they're not far off.
Really?
Really, Stephen A. They're the number one AFC team. Them and Buffalo both have the same odds right now in Vegas, plus 1,100. And that's, I don't think that's wrong. I don't. And if that's where you have them, I mean, listen, I'm not going to go back to, well, they were 4-13 the last 2 years, and just to win five games is such a great accomplishment. No, 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 no. Those expectations are out the door. They've been out the door since this team was, I'd say, 6-2. That's about when I started saying, okay, like, this team's legit. They're for real. This is happening. But, you know, now those expectations, the bar has been raised. We talked about this a month ago. Now it's just all gravy at this point. Now anything less than the AFC Championship game, I think, would be considered a disappointment by everybody. And that means your expectations are where they should be for a team that's 11-2 through 13 games.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did. We just played it. We heard you. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Kevin is in Marblehead. He wants to know why I'm so fixated on the national media. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, I am. And first of all, I love your show.
Thank you, Kevin.
I love it very much. And one of the things I like most about it is the fact that you're on there alone for most of the time, mm-hmm. and you carry on a good conversation.
Thank you.
And the time when you said you had the bird in your basement and gutted it out absolutely sold me. And your kid, you know, broke your nose last year at this time.
Right around this year. My kid kicks my ass all seasons of the year. So it's that was the word.
How old
last
is he?
Christmas. He's three. He's 3 years old. He is a very violent three-year-old. He throws his weight around in that house. He's like a little trouble. Christian Ellis in the house, basically. And I'm Jackson Dart is what it's like.
Yeah, I guess so. And I got one nitpick. I mean, I know you're Homer, and I love you for it. And I listen to you on my commute home, and it's a very short commute. But, you know, I can't for the life of me understand why you care about what the national media or Las Vegas or Stephen A. Smith or, God forbid, Cam Newton in his fedora care about the Patriots' standings or with their ranked seventh. What do you care? I mean, the game is going to be decided on the field, And regardless of what these people think, now I know these Las Vegas people are smarter probably than you or I.
Probably.
And, you know, they call the games. But why do you care, Christian? I mean, why do you care? Why can't you just let it brush off your shoulders and, you know, unless it's just a talking point?
Kevin, you say you listen to the show a lot, right? You say you listen to the show often?
Yeah, brief periods, but yes.
Do I strike you as that kind of guy who can just let things go and don't fixate on that? It's just the way I am. I can't help it. And thank you for the call, and thank you for the very kind words. I do appreciate it, and I will answer your question. The reason why I get fixated on stuff like that is in part what you said at the beginning of your call, which was, you know, you appreciate that I'm on here by myself. Sometimes I got to pick arguments with, you know, I don't always get them when calls on the air. A lot of people who call in are fans of the team. Sometimes they argue with me for being too negative. But right now, as the team is very good and are playing very well, I find it odd that there are lots of national outlets that are hesitant to give them credit. And what I think draws me to that is my natural inclination to want to argue with people. I'm a natural arguer. I just like to argue. Ask Andy Hart, he'll tell you. You know, it's just something I enjoy. And I like looking into the arguments that get made when this disrespect towards the Patriots gets printed or said on the air or whatever it is. And in the case of Cam Newton, I'll admit it was mostly because he's just so goofy and like really doesn't ever make any points. He just kind of talks, his voice goes all he does. Like, you know what I was thinking when I was driving in here? This is sort of like a niche comment, but Cam Newton analyzes football the same way that Nicki Minaj raps. I know that's a reference that I'm sure isn't going to go over great with this audience. But if you ever listen to her on like certain songs, she like changes her voice and, you know, she does this little like Barbie voice or like this kind of voice. That's really all Cam Newton does. Like, he doesn't really say anything. He just says various talking points in different voices, and I enjoy mocking that. So that's why when it comes to stuff like that, when it comes to these power rankings, I'm curious. I know how we see the team in the bubble that is New England, and I understand that, you know, sometimes we can be cynical discussing the team and, you know, nitpicking certain things about them, but I like to see what the national media says about the Patriots. I like to sort of check in on that and, you know, who's buying in and who isn't and what their reasons are for not buying in and all of that, and then I like to pick them apart. I just, you know, that's the way I naturally am. I have a natural inclination to like to do that type of stuff because you're not going to get much of it around here. You're just not. I mean, the team's 11-2. It's hard to, you know, stand up and say something about, I don't know if they're really all that good. Okay, you could maybe have said that a month ago. And with a lot of these national guys, that's what they're still sort of hanging on to. We don't know how good they are because the schedule's not great. And, you know, these next two games coming up, Buffalo, Baltimore, they take care of business in those two games, and they'll have run out of ways to do it. So look at it this way, Kevin and Marblehead. If they win the next two games, you're not going to hear me talking much about the national media because I don't think the national media is going to have anything left in the chamber to criticize this team for. And that can make someone like me's job kind of difficult. It can, but that's the way it is, and that's where we are. Yes, Joe.
You also said it yourself.
Yeah, I'm a real slut for power rankings. It's true. I am. I do like a good power ranking. I like discussing them. So, yeah, that's why. To answer your question, that's why. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a football break. We've been talking nonstop Patriots here for the last 2 hours. We will get to our 8 o'clock headlines, check in on the Bruins. Celtics are about to tip off as well. Also some news out of BC and Major League Baseball. We'll have our nightly news at 8:30. And we'll do some Red Sox stuff in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Don't go anywhere. We move into the 8 o'clock hour of the Christian Arcan Show coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.